time is now 6:30. I'm calling to order the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Southern Sarpy Watershed Management Plan. A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting. I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
John Conley?
Here.
Caesar?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Bennett?
Here.
Adoption of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes. Yes. I have a proof of publication for the open meeting notice that will be part of the record for this meeting. With that, agenda item number 6, review and recommendations on professional services contract with Fire Engineering. Lori Last.
October of last year, this board approved an interlocal agreement that created the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership. Part of that interlocal agreement, the district acts as a basis for the communities, which include Bellevue, Gretna, Springfield, and Sarpy County. We, as the administrative agent, advertised for solicitor proposals and interview firms to provide professional. To start on a watershed management plan for this area in Sarpy County. The board selected FIRA to begin negotiations of a contract, and we have that contract before you tonight. The major task items are the hydrology and hydraulics of the three major watersheds of Buffalo, Springfield, and Zweibel Creeks in that area. As well as stream stability and water quality analysis, an environmental resources inventory, and agency engagement, starting to work with the multiple agencies involved in water projects at the state and federal level to determine what might be the best practices going forward in this watershed. This project is intended to be done in three phases over the next 5 years. This first phase will take us through the first 2 years. And the fee proposed by FIRA is $400,640. With that, Mike Sotak is here from FIRA, and we can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Lori, could I have a motion on the table?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. That, we are done.
Call the meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Committee for the Clinton Creek Watershed Region of the Detention Basin. As stated earlier, the notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the back room and outside this door with that phone call.
Greg Conley?
Yes.
John Conley?
Here.
Bowers?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Chairman?
Here. Adoption agenda?
So moved.
Fowler and Thompson.
Somebody else? Everybody? Just pick.
Roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
Chairman?
Yes. I have before me proof of publication. Moving on to agenda item 6, review and recommendation of initial screening of the proposals for consultant selection interviews. Amanda. Good evening again, Amanda. How are you?
Good evening. Thank you. Just a real quick overview, since I don't have a map up on the screen, but General Manager Winkler has some maps there, and these are maps that have been around for a while. We've used them for least a year, I believe, so we'll get our money's worth out of them. And there's some maps up front for anyone that wants them. These are the Pillion Creek Watershed Management Plan maps. They identify the location of the proposed reservoirs that have been a part of the Papillion Creek Watershed Management Plan. And six of those reservoirs are circled in red, and those are the priority reservoirs. Those are where we have chosen to focus our work, and the main reason for that is because development on six of those sites is either very close or planned or already ongoing on or adjacent to those sites. So those have been identified as a priority because of that encroaching development. And so, as you know, with the Water Sustainability Fund money that we received for WP 6 and 7, that allowed us to use some district funds to request proposals for preliminary design of those six sites. And we'd like to get to 60% plans on those sites. And what that does is that gives us the level of confidence that we know the land that we need to correctly design and build those sites. Right now, we just have concepts. And if we get through the planning process with roads and permitting and get through geotechnical design and some other details, then we can have adequate land rights maps so that if not purchasing land right away, we know what limits we need for the project. So that's a brief recap of where we're going. We advertised for proposals. We received five of them on February 2nd, and those were from Olson Associates, CH2M Hill, HDR, Fire Engineering, and Burns McDonnell. And a couple of notes, So the district, this RFP is a little different for us. We did reserve the right of the district board to assign one or more of these projects to different consulting firms. Normally, we would just interview and choose one firm for one project. In this case, it's up to the board to determine who and how many of those six projects that each firm would get. The other note I wanted to mention is that interviews are scheduled for March 2nd at 6:30 p.m. And so with that, staff recommendation is to interview four of the firms, CH2M Hill, Fire Engineering, HDR, and Olson Associates, in that order. That's just alphabetical order. But it's open for your discussion.
I mean, there were five responses. Why not interview all five of the firms?
You know, as I reviewed the Burns McDonnell proposal, mm-hmm. You know, they didn't submit any relevant dam design experience. So they do have a few local folks, but mostly they are, I believe, out of Kansas City. So the work would be done not here in Omaha, but they didn't provide any dam design. Mostly it was feasibility studies and hydrology, hydraulics, but not dam design. And so for that reason, I didn't think they'd be suited.
Just point of order that the first proposal from CH2M, you added Hill to that. I think Hill was deleted from the name. I don't think it was on the proposals we received.
You're right. I think that's just a carryover from working with them over the years. So CH2M.
We do read them.
Director Thompson, did you have a comment?
Following up on Director Connolly, I looked through their proposals. I couldn't find any dam experience on dam. As well, but they talked about it being local. So I haven't heard of these guys. They're doing CSO.
They do have some folks here doing CSO.
Right.
And they have teamed with a local firm.
Okay. And if I might follow up.
Go ahead.
Refresh my memory, perhaps the benefit of the new directors. Of these six, are they which ones are water quality, which are quantity?
They are all flood control.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from other directors? Director Radley.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if possible, if, even by email, if I could possibly get copy of some of the proposals if I'm going to be voting on that. Any other director doesn't have the hard copy that's possible so we can, for our own perusal, to make a good informed choice.
Director, there was a conversation we had tonight, and this will be put on the confidential area, and you'll be able to get into them
after this evening. We'll post them, and then you guys.
I guess my comment on this, I spent some time on these. I thought there were three that were exceedingly good. One so-so, and frankly, the one with the out-of-state one, I think we have some very competent companies locally, and I see no reason to be going out and giving our tax dollars to companies that are really not local companies. We have some very, very excellent engineering firms locally, and I'd be very happy to go with three rather than five or four. And if we're to the point where we want to name those, I'll be happy to name those. Does anybody else share that, or Director Fowler? I'll let you.
I walked in here tonight, not talking to anybody, and I had three pop out at me. They were definitely, it was tiered that way in my eyes, and actually. Pretty much the way you framed it. So I would go ahead and I'd like to just make a motion for three tonight, and Fira, Olson, and HDR. And if anybody wants to second it, I thought those were the front runners. I think three is fine enough.
I'll second it.
We have a motion that has been seconded. Any discussion from the audience? Public.
I'd like to make a substitute motion on that. I like, since these firms put a lot of work into submitting these proposals, and I would take staff recommendation on that. Only one of them probably didn't have any really damage, but I think we'll interview the four that put forth the application.
Fred, I'm not going to, I guess I'm not trying to be argumentative, but it costs that company a lot of money to prepare an interview process, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And if they're really not going to be, I don't know how you stand on it, but if they're really not going to be, they're making the cut, we're saving them money in the long run.
Well, I think there are probably some board members that have not reviewed the proposals.
No, I certainly would agree with you. But
I would think that we'd at least interview the four, and I think the staff reviewed them and recommend to the board that we at least interview four of them.
Is there a second to that proposal or to the amendment?
Substitute vote.
Substitute motion. Is there a second? Hearing none, motion fails for lack of a second. Professor Conley.
Amanda, how do you feel that this interview session will go, and what will we as directors get from you at the end of the interviews?
Okay, so again, this is going to be a different process for us. What I expect to happen is you'll select the firms to interview, they will interview, and then in our normal discussion, we would rank the firms and award that to the first. So staff will prepare, maybe just on the whiteboard, but whoever's interviewing, and then we also had asked them to provide a preference of their sites, and that's not a guarantee. By any means, it's just a preference so that we could start to sort this out. So we'll have that available for you, what their preference was. I'm sure they will focus on that in their interview as well. The way I foresee this happening is the same process, rank the firms, and then maybe we start with that number one firm. And through discussion that staff can help lead, the board will assign projects to a firm.
And you might be making recommendations with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any further discussion amongst the board? Comments? Hearing none, roll call. And to repeat, that's the three to be brought forth would be Fira, HDR, and Olson, not necessarily in that order.
I'll alphabetically. If I could do that quick in my head, it would, but we'll do that alphabetically starting at 6:30 on March 2nd. Fowler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
How long will the interviews be?
You know, they're normally 20 minutes with 10 minutes question and answer. I think we've had a request to make them a little longer, so maybe 5 to 10 minutes longer, but I don't think much more than that.
Okay. There being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.
Okay, I think we're ready to move into Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. I'm calling the meeting to order. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted, as you were told earlier. Moving now to quorum call, please.
Conley.
Fred.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
And Chair.
Yes, here. I have a copy of affidavit of proof of publication of this meeting notice, and that will become part of the permanent records. Now moving to the review and recommendation on the Prairie Queen Subdivision preliminary plan.
What? I believe we have the
agenda. Let's adopt the agenda. We'll back up.
Second.
All right.
Sorry, motion.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes, and I already mentioned proof of publication. Now moving to item 6, review and recommendation on Prairie Queen Subdivision Preliminary Plat, Amanda Grant and Mark Sturzma from City Publicity.
Okay, hi again. Can you move? All right. That map is good right there. So, thanks. Okay, so up on the screen, we have Prairie Queen. Oops, I might have to turn that on. Prairie Queen Recreation Area. And then, if you remember, a while back, let's see, February. Oh, this time last year, we sold this 47-ish acres through the land auction. And that is owned by Prairie Queen. Is Prairie Queen Subdivision LLC is the name of that entity now. And so we have been working with the City of Papillion to officially transfer this property to the City of Papillion. They've been maintaining it for over a year, but we've run into, there's the annexation issues, and so I think in November we had the transfer deed in front of you for consideration. And since that time, I won't bore you with all the details, but as we finished the legal description, there were some pieces of road right away that hadn't been dedicated and some that needed to be, so we cleaning that all up, and we are weeks, if not days, away from having the legal description ready to turn over to the City of Papillion. Now, they still need to go through their planning and city council process with that transfer deed, so that's just a number of months in that process, but eventually we expect that to be approved. So in the meantime, the plat for this Prairie Queen Subdivision LLC has come through. And Mark, you might, what's the date that they submitted that?
They submitted September of 2016.
Okay. So they've submitted their preliminary plat. And then, Bill, if we can go to the next map, show you their layout. And maybe, can you turn it maybe counterclockwise? No, sorry, other way.
I meant counterclockwise three times.
Three times counterclockwise. There we go. Thank you. So this is, hopefully you can see it, the property line from the land we sold, and this is their proposed layout. They have a public road kind of on the outskirts of their layout, which is mostly multifamily, I believe. And we follow, when we sold this, we buy to the top of dam. So this is a kind of a straight, you know, line squaring off the top of dam elevation. But when they laid out this road, obviously that road can't make those curves like we were making when we sold the property. And so just the geometrics of that road layout kind of lend itself to this, where the blue is Prairie Queen Rec property that's within their road and development, and then the orange pieces are pieces that they purchased that would now be on the other side of the public road and basically park. And so what they and the City of Papillion has requested that we do, by the way, I should mention, we've reviewed their grading plan and this layout for flood storage. They're excavating to take the place of what they fill for the road. So we've reviewed that, and the flood storage of the reservoir is not compromised. This layout still meets the flood storage requirements. But the city and the developer have requested that we allow them to move forward. So the motion before you tonight is really such that we allow the preliminary plat of this Prairie Queen subdivision to move forward through the city process without objecting to it, because we, the district, is still the owner of the property that is shown up on their plat. We would not object to it, and the conditions of that are that the City of Papillion will be the owner of that land by the time any final plat comes about. And Mark can maybe speak a little bit more to the layout and why the city approves of this road there, and I don't know if you want to talk about that at all.
Certainly. Well, go ahead and say my name and spell it. Mark Sturzma, that's spelled S-T-U-R-S-M-A, and I'm here representing the City of Papillion. I'm the planning director for Papillion, and as Amanda mentioned, we received this application last September. The applicant is Jerry Reimer, and he's the person who purchased this property. He's been very patient. You know, we've held him up in his plat to address this ownership. We've asked him to include the property that is in the process of being transferred from the NRD to Papillion in the plat. So that original illustration that you saw, that would be the plat area. It would be the area that you sold plus another parcel, so that we can rationalize the boundary between the development and parkland. There'll be some that he donates to the city, and some that we essentially trade back so that we can put a road between the development and the park. The value of that road, I think, is twofold. It's good for Jerry and his development, because even though he could do the same development without that road and have sufficient access, he hired an engineering firm out of Minneapolis to help with the design. And they're experts in lakefront development. And what they have discovered over time is that development will maintain its value at a higher level if the public can see that development. So even though the common practice is to back up your most desirable lots to the lake and have that be more of a private scenario, by having that public access to it, that public visibility, people see the development and then they aspire to live there or to buy there. And so as a developer, he's very keen to have that road for that purpose. As we reviewed it as a city, we're very excited about having a road alongside the lake, because it increases access to the lake and to that park. You know, we think about our more elderly residents or maybe mobile challenged residents. They can actually go park along the lake and enjoy the scenery and be a part of that park facility, whereas today really the only access is through the trail system. And it's a secondary connection to the boat ramp. And so we think as a benefit to the lake and creating more accessibility to the lake, this road has a real benefit. So we support that land swap to allow that road to happen. Most of what we're dealing with is right of way for the road. We've analyzed the storage capacity of the lake and concluded that it's not compromised. However, the transfer of the ownership of the park property and the lake property is taking longer than we anticipated. We were originally hoping it would happen by November. Realistically, it's probably going to be May or late May before we get through our city process. We have to go through three readings of city council and then have a 30-day remonstrance period at the end of that. And if we wait until the end of May to allow this developer to even start with the preliminary plating process, he's lost an entire construction season. So what we're asking for is your permission to include this property in the plat with the understanding in the agreement that we would not approve the final plat until the city was the owner and we would make the deal on trading the land.
Anyone else wish to speak or other any other comments or questions? Director Thompson.
When we built this lake or dam site, the restriction on so many feet beyond, is this 100 feet, I think it is, where you can't have private development within 100 feet of the lake.
Yeah, so there's still quite a buffer between
is that part of the consideration? Not even, okay. So it's really a technicality. Either we let it go now, or when you get the deed, you'll do it anyway, right?
Right.
And that's fine.
We had really hoped to just wait until the city was the owner of the land, and then we were going to handle it.
Okay.
But just to be fair to this developer, we're asking you to give us permission to proceed with the understanding that we would not finalize any agreements or the final plat until the city was the owner.
And the runoff from this, I assume, houses, or is it going to be commercial as well?
So I should have printed you copies. This is actually the development document that he gave us with a very, very detailed description of what they intend to do. The development itself will be a mixed density residential predominantly. And it's really an interesting layout where he's focusing on some mansion units, really targeting the market, people who are coming, instead of up through the housing market, they're coming down. People who have lived in single-family homes and now are ready to maybe not deal with the maintenance, have more flexibility and travel. And so it'll feel like you're living in a ownership situation, but you're actually renting. And then there is some commercial along Lincoln Road as well.
I think you answered my question earlier, but when we build these flood control structures, we account for the asphalt and concrete roofing and so on that dumps into our waterways. And you had said we've taken into account the amount of rainfall and knowing that this had been developed at some point in time anyway, and then for the future dams we'll be considering on this map. I mean, this isn't going to exacerbate the problem. It's just if we didn't have the dam there, I mean, it's going to help. But having that dam there is going to help any development in that area. So it's inevitable, I guess. You've done the crunch of numbers, you engineer type people. I appreciate that.
Are you done, Jim?
Yeah.
I've got a question. Does this land swap in any way impact the trails that we've developed? And the second question then, I believe we fenced our site. Are we going to go back and put a fence along the new property line?
We did fence it, and then we decided we would leave that up to Papillion, and we probably will not. I would assume with the public road there, you probably would not need to fence. You'd probably want it. And, okay. I mean,
I don't have any objection to that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Director.
I got a question. It says you're going to wait until approval of the transfer of the deed with the city. Do you foresee any issues there?
You know, both our attorney and City Papillion attorneys have reviewed the document and are fine with it. We're really just waiting on the legal description to be finalized. And we bought a lot of pieces of land, and they were just a lot of things that never were cleaned up, so the legal is taking a long time. But that's the only thing. I mean, unless there's some hang-up in Planning Commission or Council, but as far as staff and attorneys at both places have reviewed.
So in your best guess, everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through this and you get a little bit derailed or sidetracked or delayed, it causes other people problems with other things going on. I didn't know if this has been created.
No, and you know, the other thing, we do have an interlocal agreement that both entities have signed that really makes Papillion take the park when they want to.
We've already agreed to accept it. Okay. We can't back out now.
any other questions or comments? Seeing none. Roll call.
There wasn't a motion.
There wasn't.
No.
Who'd like to make a motion?
I move staff recommendation.
And is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Now, any more further discussions? Seeing none. Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now moving to our next item is review and recommendation on the when we did the. Do we have to approve the preliminary plat as well, or was that part of the same? Amanda, was that part of the same thing?
We just not object.
Okay. Okay, next thing is U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Section 22 Stream Degradation Study, a letter of intent. Eric Williams, please.
Yep, good evening. So there are a number of different stormwater-related creek issues that are happening throughout the Papillion Creek watershed. District staff, City of Omaha, City of Bellevue, Papillion, all of the local entities have identified problems, and we've helped to address a number of these through cost share programs in the past. So the Urban Drainageway Program at Rockbrook Creek, Hell Creek, Saddle Creek, the project at Wooded Creek, all of these are on tributaries to the three main branches of the Papio Creek system. And then we've had smaller projects along the South Papio with an exposed sewer line at Gretna. And the culmination of all of this information is that there are both stream bed degradation and stream bank erosion issues happening throughout the watershed, primarily in the urban and developed area. So as we've identified these issues, in talks with the City of Omaha, we requested a meeting with the Corps of Engineers to discuss what's called the Section 22 program, which is the Planning Assistance to State. This is a program where the Corps of Engineers will provide half of the funding and then serve as the project administrator for a planning and engineering study, in this case to look at stream degradation throughout the Papio watershed. We had a meeting with them. They indicated that this seemed like a good project for that application. It's a competitive application, and so the first step is to submit a letter identifying what type of a project you'd like to complete. And in this case, that would be a study across the entire Papio watershed. So you have that map from earlier, coincidentally. The large print map shows the area, and essentially the urban area is where most of the problems are occurring, so that's where we expect most of the study would happen. There was a funding breakdown with 50% of the cost of the study provided by the Corps of Engineers, and then 50% of the cost to be provided locally. We talked with the City of Omaha and then with the members of the Papio Creek Watershed Partnership about a funding breakdown, and you can see that kind of on the bottom of the memo there. So the Corps would provide 50%, where their estimate was this would be about a $200,000 project. That would be completed either directly by Corps staff, or in some cases they do hire consultants to help complete the Section 22 studies. So $100,000 expected from the Corps of Engineers, and then $50,000 was approved by the Papio Creek Watershed Partnership, and then the district would fund $25,000 and the City of Omaha would fund $25,000. We have a letter from the Public Works Department at the City of Omaha that's included from Director Stubbe about their support for this study and their contribution of $25,000. And then the partnership did vote at their meeting on January 26th to support $50,000 of funding towards this study as well. There's one more attachment here to kind of give you an idea, the map. And this is a new database that the City of Omaha has started to collect stormwater-related issues. And this has been collected by Adam Wilmes from the Public Works Department is here and has been leading the effort on identifying stormwater-related issues on the creeks. So it's a little tough to see on this version, but those are actually a series of red lines and green dots identifying places where there are either bank collapse or stream bed degradation. And so there are hotbed areas where there's significant issues happening, but then other kind of distributed areas where a small item comes up, report from a citizen, something noticed by the public works staff or by the district staff during an inspection, and places where this could threaten all types of infrastructure through the watershed. So that would be gas pipes, water, sewer, roads, other types of infrastructure that are close to the creeks. So the proposal here, or the memo, has two recommendations on it, and we're recommending two separate actions. First, the district needs to take action to approve the Papio Creek Watershed Partnership expenditure of $50,000 contribution. So I don't know if you'd like to have discussion and then move into individual.
I'm going to ask for a motion to that effect.
Okay.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And as Eric said, this authorizes us to expend money on behalf of the partnership of the $50,000. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, anyone in the public wish to speak? Roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler.
Yes.
Fred Cunley.
Aye.
Teaser.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chair.
Yes.
And then the second recommendation is for the district's contribution and for us to act as the administrator in this. The letter of intent is also included in your packet. It's a template that the Corps of Engineers provides. It's kind of a summary of just we are interested in a study, and then we would, I think, begin negotiations with them about what the details of that study would be, what the entire scope would be. But essentially, we've provided indications of local support for the 50% that the district, the partnership, and the city of Omaha would provide. So the district would send that letter to the Corps asking them to begin the discussion about a Section 22 study and then submit that for the competitive process that does happen at the national level. And then we would find out if that project was approved and then we would go from there. So the second recommendation is to for both the funding and for the district to essentially administer this Section 22 study.
Chair to entertain a motion.
I'll move for staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak?
I had a question. Is this type of study been done in the something that's regularly performed or
yeah,
we're gonna do it?
We actually, coincidentally, I was talking with Adam before the meeting, and there are some kind of related materials that the USGS did a stream bank stability study in eastern Nebraska, which is kind of wider than the area we're looking at here, and then a stream bed adjustment and channel widening in eastern Nebraska. So there is some kind of baseline information. These were done in 2003, and over the last 15 years or so, things have changed quite significantly in a lot of areas. So the problem locations that have been identified on that map may be the same as what's identified here. They may not be. So there is some baseline information. All of the partners have information that can help inform this study, but we don't have a comprehensive view of where are the hotbeds for the watershed. One more follow-up point is that this is Section 22, so that's the planning portion. There are additional programs identified in the recommendation or in the memo. Section 14, Section 205, and Section 206. Are more construction-based cost share programs from the Corps. So the idea is that after the planning and study portion is completed, that would put us in a position to apply for cost share to get some of that work completed with assistance from the Corps.
And is this primarily for the Omaha metropolitan area or just Omaha city limits?
The exact details of the study would be discussed with the Corps. The idea is that
parameters at this point.
The letter indicates the Papio Creek watershed located in the counties around the Omaha metro area. So basically the area of the map, but we don't expect to do very much rural work in the Papio watershed. Most of this is where neighborhoods have storm pipe outfalls that come back into tributaries, and those are points where there's usually a problem and could threaten other infrastructure.
Chair to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Larry Brett.
Thank you. Chairman. Can you bring up that map again if possible? And in the northeast corner, a couple of places mature in my district. The Y shape, where's that particular area?
Director, I'm going to ask Adam to join us real quick.
Hello, I'm Adam Wilmes with the City of Omaha, W-I-L-M-E-S. Yes, that's Cole, that's a portion of Coal Creek that runs through Benson Park Golf Course.
Is that right alongside Roncalli?
Yeah. It's downstream. Roncalli would be a little further north up near Sorensen Parkway. Roncalli would be in this area. And there was a project done here. You're correct. And this is if it, well, it goes through essentially through Benson Golf Course and further to the south. And this is a list. It's not comprehensive by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a GIS database maintained by the City of Omaha Public Works Department. When we get complaints either from residents or other divisions within or departments within the city where they're discovering either stormwater issues, exposed sanitary pipes, or residents will complain about they're losing their backyard to a stream and things like that. So there's a whole range of issues here, and I would just say that we're able to kind of address them individually, sort of, as funding allows. And what we're hoping to accomplish with this study is a little more systematic look at the overall watershed.
Thank you for your input there. And Director Thompson?
Recently, CH2M did a stream desegregation study. Is this overlap or an addition, or what you talked about 2003, more of what they did?
Can you elaborate which study? They did a study on the South Papio with Sarpy County. Is there another one that you're referring to?
I just remember.
Primarily rural Douglas County.
Was that rural Douglas? Okay. And then more to come, sections 14, 205, 206. When they find that this bank needs to be shored up with riprap or whatever, a lot of that's private property. But please, property owner, we take care of that. There may be some kind of grant money available, but
yes,
that's down the road.
We talked about that briefly, that this is a mix of private and public-owned property, easements, all kinds of ownership rights across these sections where the problems have been identified. The expected work would be in the area where there's public property. Those are the sections that would qualify for the core funding, and that's where the district and the city usually work on private property. That's usually left to the property owner. We don't expect to be doing work on private backyards or anything like that. Generally, in larger areas where it's maybe between two developments, an outlot and an SID, things like that.
And improve ball homes.
I'm going to call on Director Teaser next.
Was there anything identified just south of Maple, about 119th?
Do you have a creek name? Or
that's that big one.
Right way across the path
no,
by the
no,
that's
156.
It's
the North Branch. No, that's the Prairie and 156th, I think. It should be a little to the east.
There's Tranquility. That would be 120th. There. Okay. Oh, sorry. I forget that I have this thing. There's an issue right here, and this would be more just barely west of 120th and south of Maple. That's that issue right there. We're working on design right now. That's actually a sanitary sewer aerial crossing. Catches a lot of trees and things like that. But at 119th, I think that would be sort of this area. And nothing on this list. I will tell you, though, that this list changes about every week as we get more complaints, and it'll grow in the spring for sure. But if there is something, I'd be happy
to. Thank you. I'm just curious. I saw some problems that are developing.
Director Bratton?
Well, and I've been talking about this for years. I'm glad you're working on it. I don't know if the city, though, sort of prioritizing places where there's ballparks, practice fields, you know, Tranquility Park where the Chiefs practice football, Memorial Hillside Baseball. I mean, a lot, you know, there's those creeks around through there. There was another baseball field in Keystone area. Anyway, very, very dangerous. Didn't know if they're keying in on those areas where a lot of children.
Yeah, we're, you know, as a list that's maintained by the city, we're, you know, we're working through right now a prioritization in our top, probably our top requirement there is safety. Anywhere we see a risk to the public safety, the public infrastructure are our top concerns. And so, I'll be quick to admit that we don't know about everything. And we're taking new information in all the time.
Well, thank you very much. Are there any other comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
And Chair.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Now we're moving ahead to the Mapio PL 566, Site 21, easement vacation for WP7 project. Amanda Grant again, please.
And okay, Bill, can we go to the map, the first map, please? Give you an orientation of where we're at. You can make that a little smaller. Thank you. That should work. Okay, so this is the sketch of WP7, which is a small flood control structure in the Papio watershed in the Papillion area that's in final design right now. And this is Cornhusker Road existing curves into 108th Street and then down into Lincoln Road. And this is our proposed W7, and here's the proposed location of the dam embankment. And on this curve of 108th onto Lincoln Road, there's a drop structure, a road structure right there that is called S21. It's an old PL 566 NRCS structure that we put in maybe 1973-ish. And it's a grade control stabilization structure. It's just a drop culvert at the road there, and then water, you know, can that stabilizes that grade as this goes upstream and water can back up behind the road. Can we go to the next map? So I just wanted to give you that orientation as we're going to zoom in on this S21. Whoa, Bill, you moved my shaded area there. Thanks. So you can kind of see the contours, but here's the road right here as it turns into Lincoln Road. And the drop structure is right under here. So behind here is really the S21 structure, and then water can impound. And it's an old structure, so it's pretty well full of sediment now. So for the WP7 project, we bought some land for that project, and that is the shaded yellow area. And there's a development going on that's platted right next to it. And what has come up through the development and the purchase of our land is that we had this easement for the S21 structure. So this easement was in 1972, Sarpy County got the easement for the structure, and then in 73 there was an agreement with the county where the Papio, at the time was just the Papio NRD, and they had been established, so they assumed this easement and assumed responsibilities for building and maintaining the S21 structure. So now this is ours, and Marlon tells me this is kind of what we used to do, or what used to be done, is they would write these blanket easements. This is about like a quarter of a quarter section, 40 acres right here. And then after the project was built, I guess that was for ease of legal description and some other things. And then after the project was built, they would go in and just a permanent easement, you know, on what they, or an easement for what actually the structure needed. In this case, that didn't happen. So this whole easement still exists, even though the majority of that is really downstream of the S21 structure and not really necessary. So the development requested that we release this easement, and so we are presenting that to you tonight. Really, the portion of this that's necessary for S21 is all within the area the district already owns, and so we feel like it's okay to release that old easement. We would just release it because this whole portion where there's water and sediment storage is already owned by the district. So I think I captured that. If you have any questions, we can answer that. But the consideration tonight is to sign the release of easement document.
Move the staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brickham.
Aye.
And Chair.
Yes. Thank you all. That concludes our agenda.
Well, moving right along, the FAL subcommittee be called to order. As stated earlier, the Open Meeting Act is posted on the back wall as well as outside the meeting room. With that phone call. Oh, by the way, I will impose a 3-minute speaking limit for members of the general public.
There's nobody in there.
We have too many here tonight, do we?
He's just used to doing it.
Exactly. Impose a 3-minute. Okay, I'm going to impose it on Sam.
Particularly if they got a code on.
Bradley?
Here.
John Conley?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Weiss?
Here.
Here. Adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
The second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of the meeting. Item number 6, review and recommendation of UD identification and hold harmless agreement with Devco Inc. Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Good. We go to the first map, Bill. This project, Union Dyke, is located between Valley and Fremont, Nebraska. It's on the left bank of the Platte River. It protects the area basically between the Elkhorn and the Platte from flooding. And it was built at one time to 100-year level. Go back to the actual, go a little further down in the map series. It was built in the early 1900s. We took it over in the 1970s. It's been upgrading it in the 80s, late 80s. Go a couple more photographs. There you go. This is a better thing to look at here. The location we're actually talking about is up near Fremont. This is Fremont developed. 4 miles up in this area. And there's old Highway 275 is along this location. New one's over here someplace. This is the Platte. This is Woodcliff. And then there's a development for a sand pit called Western Sand and Gravel. It's owned by NEPCO. And the district's Union Dyke levee starts at the Burns Northern Santa Fe Railroad right here. And goes down for 9.5 miles to Valley. And we have on the Union Dyke very few locations for access. Next location for access from this one is down about 3.5 miles at Mercer, Nebraska, which is quite a ways down. So zoom into Nick's map, Bill. We have we acquired easements back in the 70s from the owners. And actually, in the 80s, additional easements. This is all private land. The district has a permanent easement to maintain and operate this dike on their property. Along with that, the easements allow for ingress, egress through adjacent property. And so for years, the district used this access corridor right here, which is basically a gravel road that leads into the Western Sand and Gravel. A year or two ago, they closed down the operation, actually closed down for a couple of years. And now they're resuming production again, and so they've changed the lock on the gate up here, which is why we're here tonight, actually. We have an alternative location we've used the past some. We're using right now. It's basically a grass strip that runs along kind of parallel to the gravel road, and it runs along this ditch called Hormel Ditch. Hormel Ditch is called that because it drains a lot of Hormel packing plant cooling water and other discharge in that area, so it runs into the Platte River down to the levee. So this is full of water most of the time. So it's full of water, and this road is fairly low. Let's go to the photographs, Bill, so you can kind of see what the location. This is access number two, which is the actual road into the sand and gravel operation, which is very nice, as you might imagine, with a gravel plant. It's got a lot of nice gravel on it. This is access number one. This is basically a grass strip. We didn't use it for many years because we always had access through the sand and gravel pit. And what happened, again, about a year ago, they decided to reopen this plant. They changed the locks, and so we're basically locked out of the system. So we went to them and said, we need some keys to your gate to get into the system to resume our access in this facility. And they said, well, if you want that, you need to sign a hold harmless agreement. And basically their concern is if our employees are in there, they get injured, let's say a dump truck in that facility backs into our people, whatever, they don't want to be liable. There's a risk that they think they have when we're driving through their facility. That's an active mining operation. So the bottom line is that they've given us this indemnification hold harmless agreement, which Brent has reviewed, and there's been some modifications made. But the agreement would allow for us to have access through their gate. The alternative, again, is to upgrade the access number one, which would require a lot of gravel and require a grading. Probably about $40,000-$50,000, you could probably make this into a nice road. And maybe someday we want to do that. That's going to be a long-term solution here. But I think the short-term solution, we need access into the dike to do repairs and maintain it. The other day, our guys were out here doing some fence repair, and they rubbed this whole road up because it wasn't really frosted coming out of the ground. You can't really get through it when it's a dirt road, basically, is what it is. So this time of year, when you need to be out there for flood protection work, you can't do anything because it's basically not a usable road. Go back to the agreement, which is near the front, or go back to the memo, Bill. So I've kind of made this a long story, but essentially what's going on here is we're seeking board action to execute this proposed full harmless agreement. So I'll be happy to answer any questions on this project.
Is there an easement that wide from the nice road to the grass road?
Easement's actually on the dike, but it says in the easement we have ingress and egress rights over any adjacent land.
Okay.
So as long as that owner owns that quarter section of land or whatever, we have access through his property. Now, he can tell us, you can't go to the middle of a pond. You got to go take a road. You can't go through the middle of something that's not reasonable. So
approving this, we'll get a key.
We'll get actually 20 keys probably because they have a key we can't replicate, so it's going to be 20 keys.
I move staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Tom. I had a concern which I brought to the meeting yesterday of the executive committee, and short term, I certainly would go along with signing the hold harmless, but with the development plans that I understand that NEPCO has, I think this is a short term solution to a long term problem, and I would think that we should be budgeting to actually do the necessary repairs on site one to get that roadway done. This thing is going to be, this sand pit is being resurrected. As you may have heard about a chicken plant. That chicken plant is right north of this location. It's going to take a lot of fill, which these folks could provide. It's going to take a lot of concrete, which these folks can provide. And then this site will in all likelihood become a residential area. And the one thing the residents are not going to want are 25-ton trucks driving down their paved roads. And I've seen this up and down this dike, and it would certainly be my recommendation that the staff start budgeting to get Site 1. And also, do we have a clear easement on Site 1?
Our easement is, again, ingress, egress. We may want to entertain, and Brent can echo this, but want to entertain an ingress, egress easement. Right now we have an easement over their entire property, but to narrow it down to a particular spot might be a good idea. If we upgrade access area one, plus we'd want to work with
him. Let's pass this first thing, and then I would make that as another motion then. I'm owning some of the dike. I can tell you that landowners get touchy when you have big vehicles driving, through the property. And once it's concrete or hard surface, they're really not going to want us driving over the property. And so it may be $40,000 now, but it'd be probably $100,000, 8 or 10 years from now when we get closed off, or sooner. My information is it could be a rather quick turnaround. Is there any further comment on this motion?
What you talking about? We're years down the road, though.
Well, we don't know. I'm hearing a lot of comments about this, Jim. It could be a very quick turnaround into a housing development.
If I may, do you know how close that chicken plant will be to this? Or?
South side would be about a
quarter mile. The aerial map that we had first served.
No, I wouldn't buy a house near.
Well, hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Next map.
Built. Your nose.
There you go. I think it's over here someplace, maybe?
If you owned all that water and you subdivided that, even if there's three or four lots, they're high priced lots, I guarantee you somebody would buy it in a heartbeat because I would.
That whole area.
Up here?
Yeah. And clear over.
This is
one of the premier duck hunting spots left in South this part of Nebraska. Trust me.
There's a different NRD.
We actually own the district as part of Dodge County here. It's actually, we have a little sliver of Dodge County in the Papio. We, years ago, swapped.
Yeah, but I think it only goes to that Hill Farm Road, which is right there.
Right there?
Yeah, so north of that is Lower Platte North Center.
Okay, just this part here.
Yeah, the chicken plant will be just above where it says Russian Sand.
Hmm.
And I'm even hearing that they're kind of changing some of the, it used to be running north and south, now they're thinking more following the old access that road, so there may be some changes made. But nonetheless, a roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I would like to make a motion then to have staff look into ownership on or a permanent easement to make sure we have it for site one and to take necessary steps to protect this in the future.
That's in water, I don't think that requires a motion. You can direct the general manager.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure it gets done.
It's on record.
Thank you. Okay, then moving on to agenda item 7, review and recommendation of the council over 110%, 02015554400, dam site 15A, professional service. Lori.
Good evening. So the professional services account for the dam site 15A project is 110% over budget. In October, we had to extend the construction contract for McArdle Grading due to the wet weather we've experienced over the last year and a half. As of the date of that contract, we had 77 inches of rain in about 15 months. So with that, we had to also extend HDR's contract. So the board approved a contract amendment in October. And at that time, we did not request that the account be allowed to exceed 110%. There is no additional scope items or fees that HDR will be collecting at this point.
I move approval of staff recommendation.
Do a second. Is there a second?
Second for discussion.
Thank you. Any comments from the general public, which I don't see a hell of a lot of?
I have a question. I'm just curious, I'm fairly new at this, but is this unusual to be 149% of the budget in any particular case, or is this just because of wetness? If it wasn't wet, would it have been on budget?
That's kind of hard. So we hadn't extended
the... One of the things you indicated as to why it was over budget because of the rain.
So that's why the contract was extended?
Right.
Was because of the rain. So that is, I guess that is the direct... cause of
the rain, it would have been on budget, you think?
There are some other circumstances that had to do with construction delays with migratory birds as well. So, I mean, I can't say for sure, but most likely.
There were some additional scope items added for addendums, correct? That we had the city either paid for or...
Not with this particular.
Okay.
One that was another earlier addendum.
Okay. It was just on the surface. It seemed like almost 150% of the budget seems kind of excessive. That's a curious word all.
So we have a full-time project representative on site with HDR who oversees all of the construction, every concrete pour, soil testing for every grading thing. So we do have a full-time person out there. And so extending the contract by 9 months did put that. I mean, that's quite a bit of time, so, yeah.
I'm not sure either, but it's this year's budget is over 150%. It doesn't mean the total contract was 100%.
Right.
Right.
This budget.
It's pushed into another fiscal year.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a multi-year.
Correct.
Any further comments?
I'm pleased that the staff is following a recommendation that I've pushed for putting a new cap on the budget item. Once we raise it, we don't want to open end to raise. We do have a new cap on it. I hope we will do this on any other things that come forward similar.
Okay.
Good point, John. Any further comments? Seeing none, roll call.
Please.
Here.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That concludes our agenda. We are adjourned.